The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to The Trumpet Daily. You can get the live stream of this program, as so many of you know, at thetrumpet.com website, thetrumpet.com/live. And you can also submit some feedback to us, send an email to td@kpcg.fm. Lots to get to on today's program. We're going to pick up where we left off yesterday with our Bible study, focusing in on the Sermon on the Mount, as it's sometimes been called. Instruction, personal instruction, private instruction, you could say, that Jesus Christ gave to his disciples. Today we'll focus on hungering and thirsting for righteousness, righteousness being just right doing the Word of God, being a doer of the truth. And on this program, we spend so much time talking about the war, the ongoing war, between truth and lies, and the obligation that we have as God's servants to proclaim the truth, to tell the truth, even in a world that is full of lies. If you look at the eighth chapter of John, there's the memory verse there, John 8 and verse 44, that speaks of the devil being the father of lies. But it says earlier in that chapter, John 8 and verse 32, that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then Jesus went on to say that, look, you're seeking to kill me because I tell you the truth. They wanted to kill Jesus Christ because he proclaimed the truth of God. And so Jesus pointedly told them, as I say, you are of your father, the devil. That's John 8 and verse 44. The lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. There's no truth in the devil. None. He's a liar and the father of lies. And we, as God's family, are set free from that bondage, from those lies, by the truth. We've seen this legacy of destruction in the seventh and final era of God's church, all of the destruction and carnage, spiritually speaking, that Satan brought on following the death of Herbert Armstrong. And then now you see what he's doing to the nations of Israel. And we're working to try to expose so many of these lies we've talked a lot about. The so-called insurrection from January the 6th. The coroner, by the way, the medical examiner there in D.C. came out with his report. Finally, 3 months. It's taken 3 months. And now it's confirmed. The only one that died because of violence was the Trump supporter, Ashley Babbitt. Shot by a Capitol Hill police officer. Shot in the neck. Everyone else died of natural causes. But that's not what we were told early on. No, we were told that Officer Sicknick, he was bludgeoned to death. These Trump protesters supposedly took a fire extinguisher and were just pounding his head into the ground. We were told about another woman who tripped and died in the stampede. It was a stampede! All of these lies, and they've been exposed. And yet, as you'll hear from some of the clips I'll play in just a moment, you have the media, the propaganda media, still hanging on to their precious narrative, even though it's been fully exposed as a lie. Listen to this congressman, Steve Cohen. He's on TV last night, talking again, making the comparisons to Pearl Harbor and another whopper on top of that. This is clip six.
We just celebrated Passover. Jewish people are instructed over 2 centuries to remember 2,000 years, over 2,000 years, to remember that we were in bondage and we escaped, and to remember that day and to teach others about it. January 6th is a day like that. This was an attack on our democracy as much as Pearl Harbor was an attack on our country.
So, I mean, we've heard Pearl Harbor, we've heard 9/11. Now the Passover, I mean, this is as significant as the Jews being released from bondage, I guess. That's how close the United States came to going right into captivity. The January 6th insurrection. He says this on the same day that the medical examiner comes out and says, you know what, the only homicide was actually Ashley Babbitt, who was shot by law enforcement. That's now confirmed. Here's Tucker Carlson last night. He had a segment on the news coming out of the coroner's office, and he said this on clip two.
Today, Washington, D.C.'s chief medical examiner, Dr. Francisco Diaz, released the manner of death of the five people who were murdered at the Capitol on January 6th. Here's what he found. Only one person actually was a homicide victim. That was Ashley Babbitt. She was a protester. Two other individuals, Kevin Greeson and Benjamin Phillips, died of heart attacks. A fourth person, Roseanne Boyland, died of a drug overdose, amphetamines. No cause of death was provided for the death of Officer Brian Sicknick.
So we're still waiting on Sicknick, I guess. The others, two heart attacks and a drug overdose. So basically, the Trump protesters, the crowd, didn't kill anybody. Not one person. And we've played that testimony before from the DOJ spokesman. I forget who she was. But she was asked if they had confiscated any weapons as a result of their many, many investigations. This is the biggest investigation in the history of the DOJ, okay? Have you recovered any weapon, any gun? No, not to my knowledge. Not one firearm in the Pearl Harbor of our day. So there was Tucker Carlson, and he had Julie Kelly, I believe, on the show or the segment with him. She writes at American Greatness. And again, precious few voices have exposed the lies. Tucker's one of them. American Greatness is one of them. But it's not doing anything to break the chokehold that this big lie has on the propaganda media. Here's clip three.
But they lied about every one of these, or recklessly speculated without knowledge, which is you're not supposed to do that in journalism. The poor woman who died of a drug OD, I don't know the details of that. The medical examiner said it was amphetamines. Right. Weren't we told she was trampled to death by insurrectionists?
We were. We were told that she suffocated because of this mob.
The media told us that she suffocated to death because of the mob. She was trampled to death. And now we know it was a drug overdose. Here's clip four.
We were told, as you know, that Brian Sicknick was murdered with a fire extinguisher. Finally, the New York Times had to retract that story, but I had a piece over this week, this past weekend, when they were talking about the killing of Officer Evans, who was run over, as you know, last Friday. They regurgitated the story about Officer Sicknick again, and we're talking about top news organizations who are still citing the fact that Officer Sicknick was killed and still by a fire extinguisher. None of that's been retracted.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's not retracted. Well, actually, officially, it was by the New York Times, but that doesn't stop the talking heads from continuing. She mentioned, by the way, Officer Evans, who was rammed to death in the insurrection from last Friday, April the 2nd, a date that will live in infamy. There were actually more deaths as a result of the protesters last Friday than there were on January the 6th. But listen to Don Lemon and Chris Cuomo as they hold dear to their precious narrative. And they even mentioned the fire extinguisher at one point. Like Julie Kelly just said there. They continue, and there's no retractions. 3 months on, even as the facts now have come under the furious light of day, Here's clip five.
There is a disinformation campaign afoot right now, all over social media, being given a loudspeaker on hate TV that January 6th was no big deal. Man, was it overblown.
Oh,
they really
gosh.
Weren't even armed.
Well, I spoke to some folks who said that there were weapons recovered. What they mean by armed is guns. That's not necessarily what armed
means.
Yeah,
like you can't whoop somebody's without a gun.
Or with bear spray.
Yeah.
Or with pepper
Fists.
Spray. Or with a bicycle
fire extinguisher.
Gate. Or with a fire extinguisher. Come on, people.
We've never seen anybody do anything worse in terms of fomenting political discord in this country.
Yeah.
We've never covered anything like that because nobody's ever done anything that even approached it, let alone incited it.
Never seen anything worse, says Cuomo. I mean, they used their fists. Never seen anything worse than January the 6th. Just because they didn't get the firearms doesn't mean there weren't weapons. They had flagpoles, after all. They had their fists. They had bear spray. They had a fire extinguisher. There's more, again, more deaths as a result of that one protester. And by the way, he was Islamist. And that attack happened on Good Friday. Last Friday. It happened on the Easter weekend. But the media, they're going to forget about that just like they forgot about the shooting in Boulder. Because, well, the shooter was an Islamist. And so we've got to move on. Here's Tucker Carlson, how he set up his segment to begin with. Clip one.
Yeah, the insurrectionists killed five people, except they didn't. That was a total lie. They knew it was a lie. There was never any evidence it was true, but everyone swallowed it.
They knew it was a lie. And really, and just thinking about that coverage, as bizarre as that day was, January the 6th, As I think I told you on one of those programs in January, I watched the coverage from CNN most of the day. And as Tucker brought out there, I think they knew then that it was all a setup. They knew. They certainly know now. They certainly know now that there's no evidence. The worst this country's ever seen. That was on the propaganda media just last night. Even after all these facts have rolled in, a total lie. Monday, we played you some clips from the CBS report on Sunday night, the attack on Ron DeSantis. This segment that's just been filled, or exposed rather, as a total lie. And CBS still... You've got Democrats rising to the defense of Ron DeSantis in Florida. Prominent Democrats who say that story, that segment, I don't know what CBS was thinking, but that's not true at all. And now we've got all of these emails surfacing that shows that CBS knew going in. They knew the truth. And they still went with the hit job. They still created this big lie to try to take down a prominent Republican governor. This reporter, by the way, what's her name? Sharon Alfonsi, trying to make a name for herself. Ambushing the governor during that press conference. She's trying to hunt for any dirt that she can find. She finds that Publix made a donation to the Republican Party. And this same group, I think there's more, what was it? Somebody said earlier this week, there's more public stores in Florida than there are CVS or other pharmacies. In any event, this is a business that's also donated to Democrats. But in this very, very shallow research that this Alfonsi did, she ran across this donation and thought, well, there must be some kind of massive pay-to-play scheme here. And then DeSantis explained it. He explained it all in that press conference. That was all carefully edited. It was edited out so they could still try to make him look bad. And then now you've got these emails that are showing up that show that Ron DeSantis' office tried to give them the truth going in. This is from the Daily Wire. It says the CBS News 60 Minutes reporting scandal that erupted over the weekend after the show deceptively edited remarks made by Florida Governor Ron DeSantis appears to be growing as newly released emails show that the show did not include remarks that DeSantis's office sent them 2 days before the show aired. They tried to help them. And then you heard the exchange in the press conference where DeSantis says, look, I've just exposed the fraud here to your face. I'm showing you. And you won't believe it. I mean, that's John chapter 8. That's the same spirit that went after Jesus Christ for telling the truth. And what's behind it? Of course, it's the God of this world, the father of lies. It's Satan the devil. It says here, 60 Minutes was slammed by Publix, the grocery store chain, at the center of their story, who said in a statement that the segment was absolutely false and offensive. So you've got these Democratic mayors, you've got these Democrat officials, you've got Publix. They were right at the center of the controversy. They came out and said, it's not true at all. Where's the retraction? Where's the apology? It's like Julie Kelly said in that segment on Tucker. We're 3 months on from January 6th, and there's no retractions. Well, they're still talking about fire extinguishers. It says former Florida State Rep. Jared Moskowski, a Democrat, publicly called out 60 Minutes over the segment, saying that DeSantis' office did not push for selecting Publix to distribute the vaccines. It says Palm Beach County Democrat Mayor Dave Kerner also slammed 60 Minutes, saying that their reporting was not just based on bad information, it was intentionally false. I mean, there's real malicious intent here. They're going after someone to hurt him. Never mind the truth. The facts don't matter. Well, in the case of Governor DeSantis, he's a lot like Donald Trump. He's quite the counterpuncher. Here's what he had to say earlier this week, clip 7.
These are smear merchants. That's why nobody trusts corporate media. They are a disaster in what they're doing. They knew what they were doing was a lie. I knew what they were doing was a lie. Everybody here knows what they were doing is a lie. They know that we know they're lying, and yet they continue to lie. And they lied and they lied and they lied. We offered them the information, and they declined to interview the key people because they didn't want to let go of the narrative.
They didn't want to let go. He said there that they know that we know they're lying, and they continue to lie. I mean, that's the spirit that we encountered during the lawsuit over Mystery of the Ages as we sat across the table from these representatives of the Worldwide Church of God. And there they were lying right through their teeth. And they knew that we knew they were lying. But they just continue with the big lie. DeSantis, by the way, he went on and said, look, there's got to be consequences for this. But there won't be. They'll just dust off a little bit, CBS, and move on. Just like Cuomo and Lemon. I mean, why would you retract it when you can keep getting some mileage out of the fire extinguisher? Only one homicide on January the 6th, and it wasn't the mob that killed the innocent. It was the police that killed the Trump supporter. That's the truth about January the 6th. Richard in his news stack had this story. It was actually at the top of the hour, too, with feature news. The AstraZeneca vaccine and how that it's been suspended for those under 30 in the UK because of it causing blood clots. And so you have all of these media outlets. Here we go again. Just rushing to the defense of Big Pharma. Rushing to the defense of the UK government. Screaming that we've got to keep things in perspective here. okay, there's a few isolated cases of blood clots, but you know there's other things that cause blood clots as well. One headline said it's something that, as far as death is concerned, you're more likely to be killed by a poodle. That's what they're saying now. And as Richard pointed out this morning, keeping things in perspective or in proper proportion is fine, but where was this over the past 12 months with respect to the disease itself? For instance, under 30s, the fact that it was really no threat at all to the under 30s. Where were the news announcements on radio saying, look, we're in the midst of a pandemic, but if you're under 30, don't worry about it. Just carry on with your lives. Continue to go to school. You don't have to bother with masks and so on. There was none of that. There was nobody rushing to the podium to say, hey, let's keep this in perspective. Richard crunched some numbers. He said that his chance of dying by COVID, it's roughly the same as the odds of being killed by an airplane crashing into his house. That's pretty good to know. I think that's good. That's perspective. That's understanding the disease in proper proportion. It is a world, after all, of 7.4 billion people, and people do die every day. In the United States, it's something like 8,000, 8,500 people every day dying, all kinds of causes. Last year, it was if you died with COVID, even if you jumped out of a plane without a parachute, well, you're a COVID death. That's the way they calculated everything. With this, the vaccine, as you know, and we've made this point before, I know, but with this, it's very, very different. There's not one case, said that talking head the other day, we played the clip, not one case of a death related to or connected to the vaccine. See, now if you die with the vaccine, well, certainly it's for other causes. It can't be the vaccine because the vaccine is perfect. A total lie. That's right. Down on the southern border of the United States. More lies being told about that. Can't tell the truth because it's a nightmare. It's a catastrophe. Listen to Nancy Pelosi as she summed up the border crisis just yesterday. Clip 11.
The fact is that we're on a good path at the border under leadership of President Biden.
Right, we're on a good path. Everything's just great. It was bad 3 months ago. Now it's working fine. What has been done? What since Joe Biden, the fake president, appointed the fake vice president, Kamala Harris, since he appointed her to preside over the border crisis, what has been done? Jen Psaki, the press secretary, she was asked that yesterday. So what kind of tangible progress or is there anything? Is there anything numerical? Can you give us some numbers that we've worked on this, we've targeted this, and we're seeing some good results here? And listen to how Jen Psaki responded. Clip 8.
When you have a numerical measure, any kind of tangible measure of success, benchmarks, that sort of thing?
Well, I think as everybody who's followed this for some time knows, this is about addressing these causes over the long term. Unless we address root causes in these countries, we are going to see the same cycle of rushes to the border year after year, as we have seen in 2014 and 2018 and 2019. So we're going to look to how we can work with these countries through diplomatic means. The president has also proposed $4 billion in assistance and aid through his immigration package. And of course, the vice president and our diplomats will be engaged with these countries to determine how we can best help to prevent these rushes at the border in the future.
In other words, nothing has been done. The fake president has a proposal put forward, she said. They're trying to engage with countries. They've got to go to root causes. I mean, that leaves the door open for addressing it through climate change initiatives. But as far as anything that's been done, nothing. Nothing. And they've had 3 months. And just a and of course, before the fake president got into the White House, he was saying, look, if I get in, everybody come in. We're expecting a surge. And boy, they're getting a surge all right. There's even terrorists in the mix. They apprehended two terrorists a few days ago from Yemen. They were on the FBI watch list. That's just the two that we know of. And here's how Jen Psaki downplayed that the other day. Clip 9.
Two people on it from Yemen have been apprehended at the border. How concerned is President Biden about terrorists possibly trying to take advantage of gaps in the border to get in and kill Americans?
Well, first let me convey that these type of incidents are very uncommon, but encounters of known and suspected terrorists are very uncommon. They do underscore the importance of the critical work that is done on a daily basis to vet those at the border. So while this is rare, this is a reflection of them doing their jobs.
Oh, everything's working great. Just like Nancy Pelosi said, we're on the right path. The border agents are actually doing their jobs. That's why they caught these terrorists. And just so that you know, this is very, very rare. It's uncommon. It never happens. But thankfully, we've got good border agents to make sure all of the terrorists are arrested. Governor Abbott from Texas, he's been down there sounding the alarm. This has just been a catastrophe for those border states, but they're emptying out these migrants throughout the country. They're being bussed all over the country. You've got the fake administration opening up hotels, like apartment buildings for these illegals. In some cases, giving them, you know, debit cards so that they can go and start eating at, McDonald's and such. They've rolled out the red carpet, and I mean, they're streaming in, and they're heading into these disastrous detention facilities. We've played some of the clips from that. The Biden rep who tried to get in front of Ted Cruz's camera, you remember that? Listen to this statement, though, yesterday from the Texas governor about just one federal detention, one of Biden's detention facilities. This is the Texas governor, clip 10.
Complaints that were sent to these state agencies include the following four things. Children at this facility are being sexually assaulted. Second, there are not enough staff to safely supervise the children at this facility. Third, some children in this facility are not eating throughout the day. And fourth, children with COVID are not being physically separated from children without COVID. In short, this facility is a health and safety nightmare. The Biden administration is now presiding over the abuse of children. To end this abuse, the Biden administration must immediately shut down this facility.
Yeah, children, girls are being raped, sexually assaulted. Teenage girls, maybe younger. It's happening right there in that facility in Texas. And of course, there's the COVID spreading all over the place. No food. And so there's the Texas governor calling upon the Biden administration to shut it down. And what did Nancy Pelosi say? We're on a good path because of the leadership of Joe Biden. A complete and total lie. When we come back, we'll continue with our study through some of the points that Jesus made in his message, the Sermon on the Mount. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. You can submit feedback to td@kpcg.fm. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Every particle of human suffering, unhappiness, misery, and death has come solely from the transgression of God's immutable law. Obedience to God's law liberates us from all unhappiness, pain, and suffering. It frees us from captivity, from spiritual slavery. Obeying God's commandments guarantees a life overflowing with joyful abundance. For much more on this subject, request a free copy of The Ten Commandments. When you make your request, don't forget to enroll in the Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course. This 36-lesson course is a distance learning program that will help you to get to know your Bible. Each month, you will receive a lesson that guides you in discovering the answers to life's most important questions, all from your own Bible. Your enrollment has already been paid for. Enroll today. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com. This is KPCG-FM, and this is The Trumpet Daily.
In the last year or more, I've been especially concerned about the passage of Scripture that talks of hungering and thirsting for God's righteousness. I began to wonder, did I really hunger and thirst for it? I knew I ought to want to have God's righteousness. And I had to really stop to think and begin to pray about it before I began to really, and I thought I had, but I hadn't really hungered and thirsted for it. I want God's righteousness. Now, if you can understand, you will too.
That was Herbert Armstrong in the last year of his life. That's 1985. He's into his 90s. And he was evaluating himself, wondering if he really had the hunger for God's righteousness, the hunger that Jesus spoke about in Matthew 5. Christ said, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." They will be filled. They will be satisfied. They will lead a full and abundant life if they're really feeding on God's truth, if they're feeding on God's righteousness, which is right doing according to God's law or God's truth. It's the truth that sets us free from this world and all of the lies and all of the deception and all of the evil and the filth, the captivity. Think about God in contrast to the devil, the father of lies. He was a murderer from the beginning. And if you think about God in stark contrast, God is a God of righteousness and perfection. He's a God of holiness and purity. And because of this, he doesn't suffer like you see so many suffering in the world today. Now, he certainly does sorrow over some of the sins of mankind. He mourns the death of nations because of sin. But at the same time, he has an awesome purpose and plan that he's working out here below. And after 6,000 years of going it alone, he's going to offer life, blessings, abundance to everyone who's ever lived. God doesn't have the kinds of fears and worries that we commonly have in the world today. He doesn't struggle with depression. He's not sluggish. He doesn't procrastinate. He doesn't wander through life without any purpose or plan. He doesn't suffer from aches and pains. That's pretty common for a lot of us. He's perfect in every respect because of the way he lives, because of his righteousness. And so he's filled with joy. He's filled with happiness. He's filled with energy. He's filled with love. God is love. as it says in 1 John. And what a blessing it is to have our minds open to the truth, to be called out of this world, and to be freed from the world and all of its sinful ways. We obviously have to go forward and continue in our fight against sin, our battle against the pulls of the flesh. But what a blessing indeed it is to come out of this world. Egypt, as you know, was a type of sin. And God took all of this miraculous action in Exodus to clear the way for Israel, the Israelites of old, to go out of Egypt with a high hand, to go out and to celebrate their release from captivity. Notice what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Paul here says, Be you not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with the unrighteous, or unrighteousness, and what communion has light with darkness? See, it's one or the other. You can't have it both ways. Too many times, I mean, often that's the way we want it. We want it both ways. We want all of the blessings and the benefits that come along with God's way of life, but we also want to do our own thing. We don't want to do what's right, but we want to be considered holy and righteous, of course. But what does it take for those blessings to come into our lives, for us to really be filled? As it says there in Matthew 5 and verse 6, continuing here in 2 Corinthians, verse 15 says, "And what concord has Christ with Belial, or what part has he that believes with an infidel? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." You get the points that he's making through here, the Apostle Paul. Look, God doesn't sit down with the devil and try to, you know, have a meeting of minds. He rejects him. He calls him out for being a liar, a murderer. God, I mean, even the fact that the devil's the god of this world, he's only that because God allows that to happen. But he knows, Revelation 12 brings this out, he knows, the devil does, he knows his time is short. He knows his time is about up. And so that's why you can look at the world as you see it today and know that it's just completely off the rails, spiraling out of control. Verse 17, it says, "Wherefore come out from among them, and be you separate, says the Eternal, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." Come out of this world. Be separate from the world. And God, it says, will receive you. 1 John 2 and verse 15 says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." So come out. That's the world that we've come out of. And God says, don't be like Lot's wife. Don't look back longingly. Just go forward. Just follow the pillar cloud like the Israelites in the wilderness. Go where God will take you. And if you do that, there will be blessings. There will be righteousness. There will be purity and holiness. There will be purpose. Verse 18, you'll notice verse 17 concludes there with a comma. So it's just the thought continues. Come out from among them, verse 17 says, and God will receive us, verse 18, and will be a father unto you. And you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Eternal Almighty. You're going to be my sons and daughters. You're going to be my children, my family. My family. Notice John chapter 17. This is the night before Christ's crucifixion. John 17, and we'll start in verse 9. It says, "I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which you have given me, for they are yours. This was Christ's prayer to the Father. I pray for the brethren. I pray for the disciples. They're yours. They're your children. They're your family. Verse 10 says, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to you, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are, that we may be one family, that we may be unified and joined together, that we may be blessed. Blessed for living righteously. That's going to take some hunger. And as you heard from that soundbite from Mr. Armstrong, we have to really evaluate ourselves daily. Do we really hunger for the truth of God? For the righteousness of Jesus Christ? Verse 14, it says, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil, or the evil one. Protect them from the evil. Protect them from the devil. Protect them from the devil and his influences. He is, after all, the father of lies and murder. He's deceived the whole world. It says in Revelation 12, verse 16, though, says, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth. This is what sets apart God's family. This is what sets apart the people of God from everyone else we see in this world. This is why that this is such a strong theme of this program. Truth. Righteousness. Right living, being a doer of God's word, and doing it in a world that's filled with lies, a world full of evil. Sanctify them through your truth. Thy word is truth. He says, and you have sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Sanctified, you see, through the truth of God. Now let's go back to Matthew 5, that verse we started with in Matthew 5, verse 6, about hungering for righteousness, for God's righteousness, really having a hunger and thirst for the truth. Actually, we can move down to verse 14. God says here about the church, about the disciples, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. It says in verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So we're here. We're meant to reflect the Father's glory. Let your light shine. Set a fine example in this dark world and show the Father's glory. Reveal the Father. What did Jesus say in John 1 about how he came to this earth to declare the Father? And then one of the disciples, again, later, much later in the story, asked him for a sign. Just show me the Father. And Jesus said, look, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I've reflected his glory. That's been my purpose from the beginning. Jesus had a hunger for righteousness. He really did. He hungered and thirsted for God's truth. That verse again. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. So here we have this, well, we have a wonderful example in Christ, obviously, but you look at Mr. Armstrong, he was serving God for over 50 years in the work, And then he gets to that final days of unleavened bread, the final one for him in the flesh. And he says in 1985, he says as a 92, 93-year-old man, he says, in the last year of my life, I've really had to evaluate myself. I've really had to examine myself to see if I'm really hungering and thirsting for righteousness. And he said, look, I want to be righteous, and so should you. Notice John 6. This is a great companion passage to that verse in Matthew 5, because here is Jesus expounding upon the truth, or the purpose, or the meaning, the symbolism of the manna that came from heaven, God providing physical sustenance to the Israelites. And of course, the lesson for us is that we have to go to God for the spiritual food every day. Otherwise, we're not going to be filled. We're not going to be full. It says in verse 35 of John 6, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger, and he that believes on me shall never thirst. See, you're always going to be full. You're always going to be fed to the point of abundance if you have the hunger and the thirst that we ought to have spiritually. Jesus Christ will fill us with spiritual sustenance. Verse 48, further on, it says, I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. All of them. They had the physical food for that 40 years, raining down, literally raining down from heaven. And yet that was just a physical thing. They all died off in the wilderness. It says in verse 50, this is the bread which comes down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. He's talking about eating manna from heaven and never dying. Spiritual food, in other words. Verse 51, it says, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world, it says. The Jews therefore strove among them, verse 53, and Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink the blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. What is he talking about here? Eating flesh and blood? He's talking about living, the living Jesus Christ, living in your mind, in your body, living in your heart, coming again in your flesh, 1 John 4:2. Read Galatians 2 and verse 20 as well. Being crucified with Christ and living unto God, Jesus Christ living in you, verse 55. It says, for my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eats my flesh and drinks my blood dwells in me, and I in him. That's what it's about. That's the aim here, for God to live in us through the power of his Spirit. Verse 57 says, as the living Father has sent me, I live by the Father, so he that eats me, even he shall live by me. This is the God family that we're talking about here. And of course, the goal, the destination is our birth into that family of God, eternally living, eternal life, immortal life. Verse 58, finally, it says, this is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eats of this bread shall live forever. It's living forever in the kingdom or the family of God. Yesterday, I believe it was, we read that verse in Deuteronomy 8 and verse 3. God raining that manna down from heaven to teach them, to teach the Israelites of old that as Moses wrote there, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And Jesus quoted that when he had the titanic confrontation in Matthew 4. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Every single word. If you're gonna pick up every single word, you're gonna have to have a real intense spiritual hunger and thirst for righteousness. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily, cutting it off just a few minutes early so that we can get across campus in time for another lecture at the top of the hour. Send us an email, td@kpcg.fm. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.